org. There's a report that's been posted titled USA Post 11 September Detainees Deprived of Their Basic Rights. The report goes, 6 months from the September. So on Amnesty International website, which is at amnesty.org, there's a report that's been posted titled USA Post 11 September Detainees Deprived of Their Basic Rights. The report goes, 6 months from the September 11th attacks, a significant number of people detained in the United States after the aftermath continue to be deprived of some of their basic rights under international law. And the report goes on to say that more than 1,200 non-U.S. nationals, mainly from Muslim or Middle Eastern countries, were taken into custody in sweeps for possible suspects. Of these, some 300 are believed to remain in Immigration and Naturalization Services detention, and an unknown number have been deported or released on bail after many months in custody. And one of the countries that's lacking in a citizen currently is Canada, as we have Shakir Bullock, one of our own citizens, being detained in the United States. Steph is from OCAP, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty Immigration. She's an OCAP caseworker, specifically working on the case of Shakir Bullock, as he's been disappeared off the streets of the United States and from Canada since September the 20th. And I'm wondering, Steph, if you can tell us about Shakir's case, where it is today, because we've covered this before on the station, talking about how Shakir was missing, literally out of contact with his family for several weeks before they found him in the hands of the INS. I wonder if you can give us an update as to his situation now. Has he been released?
No, he has not. There are a number of very striking things about Shakir's case, which was actually specifically quoted in the Amnesty report that you're referring to. Shakir was held for 3 months under very stringent conditions. The report does a good job of at the Metro Detention Center in Brooklyn, where Shakir's been being held, the very grievous infringements on people's rights that, you know, many detainees have detailed. We're talking about shackles, 24-hour overhead lights, no access to good food, videotaping interviews between detainees and their counsel, hands-off visits between counsel and family when family was even able to get inside, which Shakir's family has experienced extreme difficulty in doing. His wife actually just went recently this month again to try and see him and was denied access to him. But, yeah, he was held for 3 months without any charges being laid at all. No information given to him about what was going on beyond what he could put together, because he was interrogated by the FBI and by the INS. Another striking thing is that when the Canadian government moved to get involved, and this only happened after groups in the States and OCAP in Toronto started to sort of spread the word about Shakir's situation, basically all that happened was the INS laid charges. You know, they had to do something to justify his lengthy detention, so they sort of, yeah, whipped up a couple of very minor immigration violations and charged him with that. After which he sat in jail for another month or so before coming to court. And he did come to court, appeared in court at the end of February, at which time he pled guilty to charges of illegal entry into the United States and possession of a false identification document. And obviously, all things considered, his counsel has very serious questions about why he even pled. At that hearing, the judge gave him very little opportunity to speak. And what's alarming and what we are extremely worried about now is that the judge insinuated that a much harsher penalty than usual could be levied upon Shakir for what I said before are, you know, really minor infractions. That AI report talks a lot about how prior to September 11th, you know, thousands of people enter the United States illegally each month, and not only that, if they are caught out, they're quickly deported back to their country or released on a semi-reasonable bail, and both of those things have changed. The amount of money that is being asked for people's release has skyrocketed, and not only that, quick deportation is certainly not happening, and we're not holding our breath. We sort of, all signs point to the fact that Shakir's upcoming court appearance, which is actually this Friday, April 5th in the morning in New York, is not necessarily going to lead to his return to his daughter and his wife who live here in Toronto. And, that's exactly what should have happened months and months and months ago.
Well, I talked to the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Carl Schwager, actually there at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who's told me that Shakir Bullock in no way had been mistreated.
Yeah, and I mean, the things that I've talked about in terms of being put in segregation, being held in shackles, all that sort of overt mistreatment, and never mind the fact that he was held for such a long time without charges, denied access. Actually, for more than 6 weeks, he wasn't able to let anyone know where he was. His family couldn't visit him. It's outrageous, and I also think it's there's a direct correlation between the Canadian government's lack of involvement. Shakir's not the only Canadian citizen that we believe is being detained. We know of at least three of Pakistani descent that are being held still. Their lack of effort, it makes a lot of sense that would be their comment on it. I mean, even at this late stage, the Foreign Affairs Department is in a position to present the INS with a brief on why this man should be sent back to Canada, and the reasons around, all the circumstances of his life, the fact that he's a doctor, that he was seeking certification in North America so he could practice in North America, the fact that what he's been found guilty of, it was crossing the border when there was a bar on his entry into the United States for so many entries into that country of which he was unaware, very sort of ordinary circumstances, but all of that is not being touched upon, and I'm not surprised that that's their response.
It seems like a common response of many countries in the world today. Earlier in the program, we heard from Woomeray, Australia, where literally hundreds of people marched onto a detention center just over the weekend in Australia and just took the fence down, liberating some of the detainees inside. What's it going to take to get Shakir back in this country, to get Shakir back in Canada, or at least to get the Ministry of Foreign Affairs somewhat responsive to his situation?
Yeah, I'd like to say, huge props out to the people in Australia for that incredible action. The way that misinformation and complete waving of human rights around people who are deemed illegal, a concept which is outrageous. So you take 5 minutes to think about it, but taking wire cutters and actually ripping down the fence around a detention center seems to be, a totally logical course of action. You get stonewalled. I mean, if we write letters to our so-called representatives, if we bring our concerns physically, OCAP brought a delegation to Foreign Minister of Affairs Bill Graham's office. No response. No response. His lawyers are using legitimate channels to get him out of detention. And I told you it took 3 months for charges to even be laid, and we're now a good 6 months after his arrest. And the fact that the Foreign Affairs Ministry told you that there had been no public sentiment of outrage expressed around this case is a blatant lie. Like, it's just not true.
Well, is there any way that Shakir can just be let out on time served?
His counsel at this point is saying, of course that could happen. Of course that's an option. He could have been deported months ago. There are so many different ways this could have gone, but the way that things seem to be going fly in the face of all sort of reasonable predictions. I mean, that Amnesty International report is well worth reading because it details stories of people who have had to agree to voluntary departure and have been sent back to countries where they are at risk of death and have only been able to telephone loved ones from, you know, an airport telephone or get somebody else to call from them that they happen to meet the eyes of on the airplane, and so much secrecy and sort of no end in sight. That AI report details also a lot of accounts of men who, like Shakir, have sat for months without being charged, and even upon being charged, have had no, you know, in-court movement on their cases. And so many people repeatedly say, the quotes from detainees are so similar. You know, I have no idea why I'm being detained. I have no idea why they're questioning me. I have no idea what any of this is about. And that's a common phenomenon for people who, you know, are imprisoned, that information is something that's very precious and you don't get a lot of access to it. But the difference, the striking difference in this situation is that on the outside there is so little information. Like, those are big civil libertarian groups that have taken the government to task, that have filed, you know, privacy requests and lawsuits around the fact that no information is being disclosed, and, you know, the headway is... it's pretty minimal.
Well, Steph, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I'll be sure to be checking in with you on Friday to get an update on Shakir's case. He does go to court on Friday?
Yes, he does, and I would encourage people to check out the OCAP website, which is www.ocap.ca, and there will be contact information posted for Minister Graham. And, you know, it's the last week before the sentencing, but there's no reason to sort of let up on letting Minister Graham that he has a responsibility. You know, we sit behind this Canadian border, so it's what we can do from this side that he has a responsibility to attend to the sentencing that's happening on Friday, and that we won't stand for Shakir being held any longer than he already unnecessarily has been. So do get in touch with us in this final week.
Yeah, it's definitely a good opportunity to call the Ministry of Foreign Affairs this week prior to Shakir's sentencing, because when I called last Thursday, it wasn't fresh on the minds of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They actually had to call me back with updated information on Shakir's case, because the communications department really just didn't know. So this is not something that they're thinking about. This is not something that they're constantly working on. Even though Shakir is a Canadian citizen that's been detained for many, many months now in the United States on what seemingly is, you know, pretty simple immigration violations.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a direct contrast to your efforts in the past, when they had a representative within that office who knew exactly what the details of Shakir's case and, you know, showed signs of being incredibly embarrassed about the whole situation. And when there was an initial burst of public attention on the case, you can damn well bet the Foreign Affairs Ministry knew what was going on. So we have a responsibility to, you know, continue to shame and expose the, you know, the failings and the ignorance and the lassitude of our so-called representatives.
Thank you very much, Steph. OCAP's website is ocap.ca, and if you're looking for the Amnesty International report, you can find it on the web at amnesty.org. Just click on their special page for September the 11th. Thanks again, Steph, and we'll be checking in on Friday.
Thanks for having me.